In 1950, the Muscular Dystrophy Association was created with the mission to find cures and treatments for neuromuscular diseases. Over the span of those decades, dreams became ideas. Those ideas became theories. The theories turned into studies. Those studies evolved into experiments. Those experiments, they advanced to lab trials. Lab trials switched to human testing. And after all these years of hope, that path appears to be leading to one of the major dreams of MDA coming true, a treatment for one of the most common neuromuscular diseases, Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Here with the latest exciting news about all of this is MDA's scientific program officer, Dr. Laura Haggerty. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning, Chris.
And, of course, it's MDA.org where you can learn more about the latest news and advances and a little background research, too. The nice thing to do with the articles at the MDA website. Again, if you have a question about what you're reading, there is an easy-to-access, as they say, FAQ page. And what we are looking at, doctor, is a couple of inroads made regarding exon skipping. And just as a foundation, give us, as best as you can, a layperson concept of exon skipping.
Sure. So in some patients with DMD, they have a mutation that causes the genetic code, the code for dystrophin, which is the gene that causes muscular dystrophy. And this mutation will cause a frame shift in the code. So this means that the code becomes sort of out of order. It becomes garbled. And so what these exon-skipping drugs do is that they will sort of obscure or mask that garbled region of the genetic code so that when the cell comes along to read the code, it won't see that garbled region. It'll just skip right over it. And so you end up with a gene product that is mostly functional.
And for the person listening right now, maybe to paint a verbal visual, try to imagine a wooden bridge that you're walking over a creek or a river on each, and the bridge has boards and planks going across so you can obviously step and not fall into the water. Every exon would basically be a plank in that bridge, and a missing plank would be that dysfunctional exon then.
That's exactly right. And so what you end up with is a bridge that, you know, has a little bit of an error in it, but for the most part it functions fairly well. So for these patients, it'll be not quite a cure, but it'll be a major improvement and hopefully, you know, in the course of the disease.
And the two tools by which that those inroads and those paths to a treatment are being hoped for and being really lifted by, one is drisapersen. Give us a rundown of what that is offering, because if I was doing the studies right, the studies really look at in testing a short-term benefit as far as capability, stair climbing, walking, and a long-term effect.
That's right. And I think, you know, with all of these exon-skipping approaches, including drisapersen, you know, folks will probably have to be on the treatment if it's approved for, you know, some time to see a benefit. And the way that this works is that they're really hoping to see a slowing of progression of the disease. So if you're on the drug for maybe a year or so, you know, you hope to see a slower decline compared to someone who would not be on the drug.
So would it be like with a cancer where early detection gives the greatest possibility for either a stalemate or treatment and alleviation of cancer, an early detection of Duchenne muscular dystrophy in this case with the application of either one of these two drugs that we're talking about here would keep maybe a status quo of the Duchenne dystrophy at the level that's found? Is that the best possible scenario?
It really is the best possible scenario, and that's sort of the best that we have right now, but it would have a big impact. And as you said, like in cancer, the earlier that it's detected, the earlier that folks are able to go on to the treatment, the better the outcome could be. And, you know, it should sort of help to slow the loss of walking, to keep folks breathing for longer on their own, to allow people to remain independent in terms of feeding and you know, moving around. So even though it's not a cure, I mean, this would be a major, you know, development for folks in the community.
Well, certainly, if you think back, too, through all the years of the Labor Day MDA telethons, you can look back maybe, and you can find these on YouTube, actually, too, back in as recent as the 1980s when they would do profile pieces. The ending of the family stories used to be the loss of a child. And then as the 90s and the 2000s came along, those children who would have been lost at those ages of the late teens, mid-teens, were in their 20s and 30s. I'm thinking of Christopher Rush as an example, who was a one of the poster children from the 1980s, went on to be an attorney and lived until, I believe, he was in his almost 30.
That's right. I mean, there have been some, you know, wonderful advances in care in the last 30 years or so where, you know, we're able to do better taking care of their hearts. You know, we're able to help them breathe a little bit better, you know, provide some anti-inflammatory therapies that can help a lot. So it's made quite a difference in folks' quality of life and length of life. And so, as you said, I mean, patients that are born now can expect to live, you know, at least to their mid-20s, hopefully, and beyond. So, you know, small changes will have a big impact on the length of life and the quality of life. So it's very important to see new therapies and new advancements.
Which is why your support of MDA all year long through the events and just through when you have the ability to give and you feel the need that have the belief that this is the worthy organization to do some of your giving with. MDA.org is where you can do that. And through the end of December, there's a matching donation situation going on too, which when you go over to MDA.org, you can learn more about that. So every $25 you give becomes a $50 donation. Can't be made any easier than that. We're talking with Dr. Laura Haggerty, who is MDA's Scientific Program Officer, about some of the very exciting inroads being made after all these years of hoping, looking, and seeking, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. And a little Jersey prize, I mentioned PTC Therapeutics has in development Atalarin, which is another drug, which I was looking at some of the research with through PTC's information. Seems like Atalarin has a greater effect in the longer distance walking endurance and stair climbing than the shorter distance, which explain how that's possible. Is it much like momentum provides the catalyst for the work of the drug to kick in?
Yeah, I mean, it's not clear. I think, you know, as the company continues to collect data on that, and as the FDA weighs in, I think that will become a little bit clearer. Right now, the public hasn't seen all of those data, so it'll be interesting to see how that shapes up. I mean, certainly that drug is very interesting because it targets a different portion of the DMD population than the exon skipping drugs do. So this is another 13% or so of DMD folks who could benefit from that drug, on top of the 13% or so of DMD patients who could benefit from the exon-skipping drugs that are now before the FDA. So, you know, we're really making some gains in terms of, you know, being able to help a lot of these patients.
And between the two, drozaperson is the one that's looking forward the most. It'll be before the FDA for a final blessing by the end of the year. At least that would be the deadline for it. At this point, through the testing that drozaperson has gone through, Is there any reason why the FDA would say, well, maybe not yet?
It's not clear. I mean, there are definitely, with all drugs, you know, there are some safety issues and, you know, some questions about efficacy, but that's true of any drug. And so, you know, it'll just be a matter of seeing what the FDA has to say about it, because they're the ones that have really seen the data in great detail. So, you know, of course, the community is very, very hopeful to see something, because there's just an absence of anything to help. So anything would be very helpful. So we'll be, you know, watching very carefully to see what the FDA has to say about the data.
And MDA is also supporting legislation that advances targeted therapies for rare diseases. In the Senate, it is S-2030. It's the Advancing Targeted Therapies Act. And it was introduced in the U.S. Senate September 15th. That would clarify the FDA's authority to rely upon data provided previously by the same company in the review of a different targeted therapy to treat the same disease. So basically, there is legislation. Hopefully, the Senate will act on it to streamline the organization, because getting a treatment and drug approved in the Eurozone, for example, does not have as many hurdles as it does here in the States, and that becomes a delaying of the benefit in quite a few ways. Wrapping up our time with this, Doctor, these two treatments are for specifically exon 51. If drozaperson and Atalarin proved to be right and effective and all things are clear, is there a way to take what those two elements contain and use them as a basis to do treatment of other exons where defects are found?
That's exactly right. So with drozaperson and Eteplirsen, the two exon-skipping drugs, those drugs are made by BioMarin Pharmaceuticals and Sarepta Therapeutics, respectively. And both of those companies are looking to apply that same technology to benefit another cohort of patients, or several actually, where they're targeting other exons where there could be mutations. So there's quite a number of things in the pipeline coming behind these two exon-skipping drugs. So it's very exciting. And, of course, you know, the patients who are impacted by these other exon mutations are going to be watching very closely what happens with eteplirsen and drisapersen. And then with Adalirin, which is a stop codon read-through drug, I think that there is clear indication that that might have application in other diseases, but probably it's going to help as many people as they can already in Duchenne.
Certainly when a deadly disease strikes, we always hope for quick cures and treatments, and unfortunately the human body is much more complicated than your cars, for example. The mechanic can get under the hood and say, well, yeah, it's the carburetor, pop a new one in, here's your bill, and happy trails to you. But dedication, since I mentioned, from 1950, when a small collection of families got together to form the Muscular Dystrophy Association, through the many years of seeking, when 1986 came around, the gene that was the cause of muscular dystrophy was discovered, and the elements of those genes were dissected and examined down to the speck of dust on a pinpoint, which is basically what we're talking about here. And to see where it's advanced today, it's only possible because of your longtime support, your caring and giving to the Muscular Dystrophy Association. As I mentioned, through December 31st, there is a matching fund all set up that what you donate will be matched and doubled. So every 100 you give becomes 200. Every 50 you give becomes 100. You can do the math from that point, I hope. Find out more about that, along with more of what we talked about here. And just to get a better idea of the difference you can make in the lives of children, families, young adults who are facing the demon that is neuromuscular disease, with the hope that's now rising stronger than ever at MDA.org. We've been talking this morning with MDA's Scientific Program Officer, Dr. Laura Haggerty. And Dr. Haggerty, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Well, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it so much, having the opportunity to talk to the community about this very important disease.